Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. President Biden is in Japan for a summit of G7 leaders. NPR's Scott Detrow reports Ukraine is expected to be a central focus of the talks.
Russia's invasion of Ukraine will be a major focus for Biden and the other world leaders at the summit. Previous G7 statements have condemned Russia's repeated threats to use nuclear weapons in Ukraine, and in this moment of increased nuclear tensions, Japan's Prime Minister Fumio Kishida has said he hopes the summit setting in the first city attacked by an atomic weapon will underscore the existential threat nuclear warfare presents. Biden, Kishida, and the other leaders will visit Hiroshima's Peace Memorial Friday morning, where they'll lay a wreath. The White House says Biden will not make remarks at the memorial. Scott Detrow, NPR News, Hiroshima, Japan.
The White House says President Biden is cutting short his overseas trip so he can return to the U.S. and deal with ongoing negotiations over the debt ceiling. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warns a default could occur as early as June 1st if Congress does not take action. The South Carolina State House has approved a ban on nearly all abortions. This would prohibit the procedure after 6 weeks of pregnancy, before most people know they're pregnant. Democratic Representative Beth Bernstein opposes the bill.
No one, especially the 170 members of the South Carolina General Assembly, who, by the way, are comprised mostly of men, should stand between a woman and her doctor. Banning abortion is not protecting a woman's health.
The measure now goes to the South Carolina Senate, where Republican Senator Katrina Sheely says she will vote for it.
We're trying to do what the people of South Carolina want. Around 70% of the people in South Carolina have said they want what we have been, you know, standing up for.
Currently, abortion is legal in South Carolina up to 22 weeks of pregnancy. Stocks opened mixed this morning as Walmart reported better-than-expected earnings for its most recent quarter. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell about 124 points in early trading.
Walmart reported strong quarterly sales growth and raised its forecast for the rest of the year. The nation's biggest retailer says it's attracting new customers to its grocery aisles, including younger and more affluent shoppers in search of bargains. Walmart says penny-pinching customers continue to trade down, opting for smaller package sizes and choosing store brand products over national brands. Fewer people applied for unemployment benefits last week than the week before, suggesting layoffs are still relatively uncommon in the tight U.S. job market. As of late April, just under 1.7 million people were receiving some form of jobless aid. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
On Wall Street, stocks remain mixed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is now down 120 points at 33,301. The Nasdaq is up 40 points. This is NPR. Tens of thousands of religious nationalist Israelis are marching today through Palestinian areas of Jerusalem. It's a contentious annual event marking Israel's capture of East Jerusalem in the 1967 war. NPR's Daniel Estrin reports from Jerusalem the march has sparked violence and street assaults in the past.
Thousands of police officers are deployed for the annual Israeli flag march, marking the day Israel captured East Jerusalem and its holy sites in 1967, land Palestinians also claim. Marchers here traditionally chant anti-Arab slogans like death to Arabs and may your village burn. And last year there were sporadic street assaults on Palestinians. In 2021, this march led to a war with Gaza. An Israeli official tells NPR Israel thinks Gaza rocket fire is unlikely today. But there are new reasons for tension. Nationalist Israeli lawmakers are visiting the contentious Al-Aqsa or Temple Mount holy site today. Far-right Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir is joining the march, and marchers are planning new routes through Palestinian neighborhoods. Daniel Estrin, NPR News, Jerusalem.
Relentless fighting continues in Sudan as two warring military leaders struggle for control of the country. The UN's Office on Migration estimates that more than 1 million Sudanese civilians have been displaced by the fighting. In Pakistan, hundreds of security forces are surrounding the home of former Prime Minister Imran Khan. They're demanding that he hand over supporters that the security teams claim are terrorists. Khan and the ruling Pakistani government have traded accusations of corruption. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.